Well, we're walking towards the working facilities with cattle in it to try to get the sound of a cow.
On a sunny Thursday, deep in the Arcata Bottoms, Dean Hunt and his ranch dog are heading into a holding pen.
Here, Ron, bring him up. Walk him up.
Hunt's family has been working the Arcata Bottoms since the 1880s. Today, the business is a cow-calf stocker operation. He's not a breeder, and he's not a meat packer. He's right in the middle.
We are grass farmers, so we got grass out there. We put cattle on it, and we put pounds on the cattle. After that, they go on to feedlots where they're finished on grain.
Today on Talk Humboldt with Keith and Tom, it's a tour through the life of a Humboldt cattleman. From the Arcata Bottoms, here's Keith and Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom Jackson with Cal Poly Humboldt, and I'm here again today with my dear friend and colleague, the president of the College of the Redwoods, Dr. Keith Flamer.
Good to see you, Tom. We are in a small corrugated barn in a huge ranch owned by Dean Hunt and his family.
Good to see you, Dean, and thanks for being
here.
Thank
you. Thanks for being here.
Can you say a little bit about how you got into this business?
So, my great-grandfather showed up here from Vinyl Haven, Maine in 1887. And wanted a mountain ranch. And all he could afford was 80 acres on the Arcata Bottoms. Little did he know that 80 acres was more productive than 2,000 acres in the hills. But he started down here with a dairy, and my dad and my grandfather had it, and partnered with my parents and then bought my parents out. And now our son's involved with us. So we've been doing it ourselves since about 1996. And we are cow-calf stocker operation is what we call ourselves, mainly a stocker operation.
Can you talk to us about what that means?
We are the daycare of the cattle business. There's a cow-calf operator that raises the calves. We buy the calves in the area, and they get sized up, and then we run them here on the grass for sometimes 10 months. They transition out of here. When they get big enough, we like to try to make our steers weigh about 900 pounds. We'd like to see our heifers weigh somewhere between 8 1/4 and 8 1/2. And from there, they go on to a feedlot up into Oregon, and that's where they're finished on grain and stuff before they go to a processor and become your steaks and hamburgers and all that.
When you were talking earlier about your original 80 acres that came within the family, what's special about the bottoms that's different than other places?
This bottom ground is really good. March, it starts getting good. April, a little better. May, it's out of this world. And I always tell people, there's time of year when you feel like you mowed your lawn today and you look at it tomorrow and go, oh, well, I have to do it again. Well, that's the way we get. And that's when we need a lot of cattle on the grass and we need to be moving them around. We have over 100 pastures here. We have it split up into about 6 different groups of cattle, and we'll be moving those cattle every other day to a new pasture.
So it sounds like that just the grass is different here. Healthier for the
mountains have times of the year that they're being more nutritious than this country, but it's a lot shorter period of time. This country always grows grass. May not be quality grass, but it's always growing a little bit.
I would like to know how your business works. What's it like being a cattle person?
Our business is like any business. And we've got overhead, and we got direct costs. We go to an auction, we don't know what we might be buying.
I should tell you, Keith, I had the pleasure of going to an auction with Dean once, and I have never seen so many poker players in a room. You know, hello, everyone. But once they sat down, it was poker.
There's a love-hate relationship with cattle buyers.
Talk to us about that.
Well, they all love each other going into the auction.
I see.
And they hate everybody during the auction, and then the love's back on after the sale.
Okay, I see where that happens. Okay.
We're here today with Dean Hunt, a rancher. Dean, if you could take a moment and talk a little bit about the threats that you encounter as a cattleman.
I think the first big threat is the Aleutian geese, and they eat everything. We'll have times of the year where we'll have 30 or 40,000 of them sitting on us. They like this bottom ground, and they like ground that's been grazed by cattle.
I see now we're the threat to the cattle. Okay. First, yeah. I wasn't quite grasping.
So then we went from the Aleutian Goose here to our ranch out in Bridgeville. And this has been 25 years ago now. Discovered we had elk. You know, they just one day showed up.
Elk ate everything.
Well, they eat the same thing that the cattle do.
The cows do. The cows, yeah. Okay.
And the ranch at Bridgeville, we run about 80 mother cows and calves. A lot of times we'll have over 200 elk on us. And basically can't do much about it unless you want to go out there and run them through your fences. They don't jump very well. They like to run through the fences. With our cows have a calf, and we take the calf off the cow. Well, the calf never comes off of the elk. It just becomes more elk. What I get worried about is that at some point, if it gets too overpopulated, then there's going to be a lot of disease come into the elk, which hopefully doesn't transmit to the cattle, but it's becoming a problem.
You know, as you're speaking, I was thinking about the relationship that you would have with the state government or the feds. So what is that like? And over time, has it changed?
We have worked with the state agencies. We've worked with the federal agencies on private land stuff. And the way I finally figured out what we were is all we were educators, because we get a group in there that we're getting along with. And about the time we're getting along good with them, they're gone.
And then you have to
re-educate. Then we have to re-educate a new group. Hopefully, they're getting a little bit of education before they move into that position, but a lot of times they're not.
Dean, can you say a little bit about something you've talked about in the past, the 80-20 rule? Can you explain it for us?
The 80-20 rule, where I learned about it, was with this group of landowners with Partners for Conservation. And we had all come to the conclusion, dealing with all the different agency people and everything else, that we could probably agree on about 80% of the stuff. We made our minds up that we were not going to worry about the 20%. And that's, to me, been a very useful tool. You got to have that open mind, because there's different people got different ideas.
Dean, thank you very much.
Thank you
for your time today and sharing this information. Not only was it educational, it makes me hungry. So thank you very much.
I so enjoyed it. Now I know what I'd like to do when I'm done working in higher ed. I'm going to sit on horseback and help you move cattle.
There you go.
It's a dream come true.
Yeah, bring your horse. Come on down. We feed you good after you're through.
Well, that's the only part I was going to do.
From the Arcata Bottoms, you've been listening to rancher Dean Hunt on Talk Humboldt with Keith and Tom. To hear this and other episodes, visit khsu.org.